Tonight we're going to finish up on the resurrections with the seven that we talked about. Of course, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we will celebrate his resurrection next Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. And then when he came out of the tomb, many of the graves were opened around him, and some of those Old Testament saints walked into town. Man, that's wild. Christ, the first fruits, that's referred to as the first fruits. Then you have the harvest, the rapture of the church. We talked about that. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So that's a resurrection. And then we have a spiritual resurrection, and that's when a person gets born again. Whenever someone trusts Jesus Christ for salvation, the Spirit of Christ quickens us. We're made alive again. The dead spirit that we were born with is now quickened and intertwined with the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's a spiritual resurrection. The Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And then we talked about the nation of Israel. And that's a national resurrection. And where in Ezekiel 37, it talks about the valley of dry bones, where God brings all the tendons and sinews, it says in Scripture, up on those bones. Puts the breath of life in them, puts his law in their heart, and places them in the land of Israel at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, an exciting time. And I don't know if I went through all six. There's a resurrection of the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, during the tribulation. The two witnesses that God sends, and they're killed during that time. And then God raises them back up. So that's six. The seventh one we're going to talk about tonight is the last resurrection. And this is the resurrection of the unsaved dead. And this is referred to as the Great White Throne Judgment. Pretty incredible. This is a judgment that all the unsaved dead appear at. All those who have trusted Jesus Christ appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And they give account of their service that they did for God. They're not judged for sin at the judgment seat of Christ, because when they trusted Jesus Christ, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he took my judgment, the moment I got saved, I appropriated his crucifixion, what he did, his payment for sin. When I received him, I also received that free pardon of sin and his payment for sin. So that allows me to bypass that judgment for sin that every Bible rejecter, every Christ rejecter throughout the ages will appear at this last resurrection, and it's also a judgment. We teach this also in the seven judgments of God. And take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, in verse 11, the Bible says this. John, of course, taken to the Isle of Patmos, and here's what he sees. Whether in a vision or he was taken ahead in time, I don't understand all that. But here's what the Bible says about it. He says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open," plural, books were open. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Then down around verse 15 it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verses 13 and 14 tell us, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the last resurrection that we're going to talk about, and this is the last judgment. And this judgment is the one that people usually refer to. You'll ask someone about judgment, and most people think there's just a great judgment day when we all appear before God and we give account. A lot of folks have it in their head, well, when I appear before God, I hope the good outweighs the bad. That's a common thinking of a man. I use that line in a song that I'd written years ago. I hope the good outweighs the bad. Well, that's a common thinking of man, but a man don't go to heaven whether he's been good or bad. He goes to heaven whether or not, it depends on what he did with Jesus Christ. That man accepts Jesus Christ, whether he is a bad man or a good man, he goes to heaven based upon the merits of Jesus Christ and not upon his own works. That's why that thief on the cross was able to be in paradise that same day with our Lord and Savior. He was not a good guy, he was a bad guy. He was one of those that had, reading between the lines in Scripture, had probably preyed on the community all of his life. And he came to himself, he repented of what he had done. He knew that he was a rascal. He told the other thief there, said, you and I, we've got coming to us whatever they're giving to us. But this man has done nothing amiss. He repented, and he repented toward Jesus Christ, toward repentance toward God, and then he placed faith in Jesus Christ. But we look at this judgment here. This judgment is the one people usually refer to, and they don't know anything about the other judgments. There's a judgment of the nations in Matthew 25. That's where the Jew, the nation are judged, not the Jew. The nations are judged in Matthew 25. The goat nations are separated from the sheep nations. The Jew is judged during the tribulation. It's referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble, also referred to as Daniel's 70th week, also referred to as the Great Tribulation period, but that's a judgment of the Jews. So this last judgment is where all those who have rejected Jesus Christ all show up there and they all have to give account. All the reasons why that they refused the sacrificial work and blood atonement of the Savior, the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. God's provision for sin. My. This is not a general judgment, for there's no such thing in Scripture. Church is not here, neither is Israel, for both have already been judged when this one occurs. Church was judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where Christians are judged for the work that they do after they get saved, and they're judged according to their motive for what they did for Christ, whether it was to glorify them or some organization or glorify the Lord. Every man's work shall be tried, yet so as by fire. All the things that I've done in my life, and there's a ton of them that I did to glorify myself, that goes up in smoke. Not worth anything. But all those things I did to glorify my Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the cause of Christ, I get rewarded for that at the judgment seat of Christ. 5 crowns that I can win at that judgment. So the church was judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Israel was judged during the tribulation period, and this is the judgment of the dead only and a resurrection of the dead. The seas give up the dead. Death and hell give up the dead, and they all stand before God. It don't matter if they were the king of England or the Boston Strangler. They all have to give account. And this one is different than the judgment of the nations in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. That one occurs on earth. This one, it appears, is after the earth has been destroyed and before the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. And that one was of the living nations as nations, and this one is of the dead. This is a judgment. In this judgment, death and hell are personified. By death, we understand the grave which holds the body until the resurrection. By hell, that's a compartment in the heart of the earth, of the underworld, where the souls of the wicked dead remain until the resurrection of the wicked. That's where everyone shows up here. And it's a resurrection. The lake of fire signifies that death and sin will not be found on the new earth. New heaven and new earth, it's not going to be there. Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, the great white throne, it appears, will not be here on earth. It appears it'll take place during the renovation of the earth by fire. It says, for the renovation of the earth is reserved or kept until the time of that judgment. And Peter talks about that in 2 Peter 2:7. Peter said this, he said, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That's where we come to that conclusion. Clarence Larkin states that this judgment is for the wicked dead. All the righteous dead arose at the first resurrection. And if any righteous die between the first resurrection, now this gets kind of complicated and theological, so just, I'll read my notes and we'll go on from there. If any righteous die between the first resurrection and the resurrection of the wicked, or second resurrection, they will rise with the wicked dead at that resurrection. Now the words here says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life. There's kind of an implication there that there might be some, probably very few, righteous at the second resurrection. Now you get into some complicated stuff there. That's more Bible Institute stuff, but it's interesting. So at the close of the millennium and just before the renovation of the earth by fire, the living righteous will probably be translated, and the living wicked or ungodly will be destroyed in the flames that come and consume the earth's atmosphere and the surface. And now, Mike Stroh has a pretty good take on this. Dr. Mike Stroh, who was a Hasidic Jew, studying to be a rabbi and got saved and now pastors a Baptist church. His Jewish perspective on this book of life is a little different. Brother Stroh, it's his belief and his teaching that everyone's name is written down in the book of life the moment that they're given life. Remember where the Lord said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And he says every person's name, and this is something to look at. I don't know if I believe it or don't believe it. It's interesting. All we have is what the scripture tells us, and the conclusion we come to is sometimes different. But Stroh claims every person's name is written down in that book of life. And the moment that someone sins, the moment you sin, it's blotted out. Moses asked the Lord, said, blot me out, I pray, out of the book of the living. And God says, no, the soul that sinneth, him will I blot out. So Stroh might be right. So when they open up those books, this great white throne judgment, they're looking to see who's left. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the moment, if Stroh is right on this, the moment that you sin, your name is blotted out of the book of life, the book of the living, and then when you trust Jesus Christ, it's written down in the Lamb's book of life. Wow. Isn't that cool? The Lord told the disciples, rejoice rather because your names are written down in heaven. So whenever someone sins, if Stroh's right, and I suspect he might be on this, when someone's born, conceived, wherever that starts, it may start with that heartbeat thing. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So whenever that baby is conceived or has blood, there's life there. But it appears whenever someone sins, that name is blotted out. Their name was written down before that. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the moment you trust Jesus Christ, you're written down again in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's pretty exciting. The Old Testament, Moses said this. I'll give back up a little what Stroh teaches. In the Old Testament, Moses said in Exodus 32:32, he says, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Moses, entreating God to blot him out of the book he had written. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Wow. The psalmist said in Psalm 69:28, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not written with the righteous." All right. Now, some believe, this gets kind of complicated, but some believe that there will be none saved who died between the first and second resurrection. There's a thought, and I've talked about this before, that if you reject the gospel call, you hear the gospel in this age, and you reject it, that you probably won't be able to get saved during the tribulation period. And a few verses to back that up. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, when I was first studying this thing out and trying to come to a conclusion of this thing, whether that was so or not, I wasn't sure, because it says here that they all might be damned. Well, God sent the Jews strong delusion in this age, but a few get saved. A few Jews get saved, even though there's a veil over their eyes. A few Jews get saved. Mike Stroh was one of those. But then I remember reading about the wedding supper, where the king had a wedding, and he called, invited many to the wedding, called them to the wedding. And they started making excuses why they couldn't come. One said, well, he married a wife, he bought a team of horses, he had to go prove that team that he bought, oxen, whatever it was. And one after another, they made excuse, and then the Lord said, go out in the highways and hedges and that my house might be filled. And then there's a place where it says, those who were bidden and would not come were cast into outer darkness. So I applied that thinking, that in this age, if you were bidden, if you heard the clear-cut gospel message and you rejected it, that Holy Spirit of God tweaking on you, wanting you to get saved, and you just rejected it, then you were bidden. And not that you couldn't come, you just would not. And God said, let them be cast into outer darkness. I don't want to be that person. If you feel that, that urge to get saved, you better get saved. You better go find somebody that'll get you through that simple plan of salvation and get saved. You might not get another opportunity. Don't be like that fellow that always said in his mind or in his head that he was going to wait till the 11th hour before he trusted Christ. And that fellow died at 10:30. So that can happen. You don't want to be that person. All right, the books will be open in which the recording angel has kept a record of every person's life. And they'll be judged, every man according to his works, at this last resurrection, the last judgment. Some will be sentenced to, it appears that there's going to be degrees of damnation, just like there's degrees, different rewards. Don't that make sense? Isn't that a, seem like a practical thing? Some will be sentenced to more severe punishment than others, but none will escape. And I can't actually prove that, but the Lord has different rewards for different things. And I've got some scripture that'll probably back that up. Matthew 23:14, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer." Watch it. "Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." So it appears that people who use religion for a pretense are going to have a greater damnation. Hebrews 10:29 says, "Of how much sorer punishment." "Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." So it says there's a sorer punishment. So I get the inference from those type passages that there's going to be degrees of damnation. Now, I'm not sure if I'm right on this thing, but there's a verse over in Revelation. Then Revelation, where it talks about all the murderers and unbelievers, and it lists a whole bunch of things. Is that Matthew or is that, I don't remember where that's at. Said, "shall have their part in the lake of fire," which opens the door to the, perhaps there's different parts for different type of offenders. That sound right? Because you can probably have a good moral man that just don't believe it. Don't believe it and rejects the gospel. He may have a different part, a different level of torment, a different level of damnation than the guy who is a murderer. Does that make sense? What is it? Revelation 21:18. That's a pretty interesting thought. We know that there's different crowns. There's a crown of life. There's a crown of glory, a crown of rejoicing. There's a soul winner's crown. There's a crown for those that feed the flock. Different levels of rewards. It talks about those who love his appearing. Said there's a crown of life for that person, reserved for that person. And what do you tell me again? Revelation 21:8. I'm close to getting there. And I'm going to read that. And whether I'm taking this thing too far, I don't know. But here's what it says. It said, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now there's a possibility that's talking about, that's different degrees. Their part, their level of torment would be less. Someone who just don't believe would be less than the murderer and so forth. Now that's something to ponder on. Don't say I'm teaching that for doctrine, because I don't know. I'm just trying to reason the fact that God has degrees of rewards, levels of rewards. He probably has levels of punishment, just as our justice system does here. And I don't know why I'm getting into all this, but I guess because I got a little time, it's Kind of interesting. All right. Second death means those who rise for judgment will lose their resurrection bodies and their souls will be cast into the lake of fire. Wow. We don't want to talk about that stuff. That's strange. But that great white throne, Cain will be there. All the wicked of Sodom, the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, all the wicked of Noah's time, Pharaoh and Ahab and Jezebel and Judas and all those scribes and Pharisees, all the chief priests who caused the crucifixion of our Lord, they're all going to be at this judgment. The Bible says every head shall bow, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That's how that goes. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At that judgment, folks will give account for every idle word. And there's a lot that we could go through about that, but this judgment is for sin. And it's for those who did not take the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ has offered to everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world, he loved everybody. That whosoever, that can be you, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I came to a place in my life where I knew that I'd sinned. I knew I was a sinner. And I knew more than that. I knew I was a rascal. And I fell down before God and said, God, I know I'm a mess, Lord. And I believe you are who you said you are. I believe you're the Son of God. And I know I'm a sinner. So I'm asking you the best way I know how to have mercy on me, a sinner. And he saved me. Saved my soul. Wow. It's for sinners. When a sinner doesn't take God's remedy for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the remedy. When he don't do that, then this is the judgment that that person ends up at. When you trust Christ, your sin was already judged by him. He took your punishment on the cross, and you are judged after that, first as a child of God. And that's a matter of confessing whenever you screw up. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's that judgment as a son. You have that father-child relationship with God. The chastisement of God. If we judge ourselves, we're not judged. That kind of thing. But then you're judged as a servant at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you bypass Jesus Christ, you show up at this judgment. The great white throne judgment for sin. Isaiah said in Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And when a fellow stands before this judgment, he'll be judged for every idle word, the Bible says. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak shall give account thereof. They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Wow. Man, if I was an unsaved person and I read that verse, it'd scare me to death. Man, they wouldn't be too far into that DVD before I said, I don't want to see any more. I don't want to see any more of that. I'm guilty. That's the last resurrection. And the last judgment, the great white throne. You can avoid that by trusting Jesus Christ. You trust Jesus Christ for salvation, you bypass that judgment. Why? Because Jesus Christ took your judgment for you. After I trusted Christ, what he did for me on the cross, you can't convict a man twice for the same offense. He took my place. It would be double jeopardy if I could have had to pay for my own sins because Jesus Christ already paid for it. I'm done. Let's stand up if you would. God loves you tonight. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why don't you trust him tonight? If you've never trusted him, why don't you? Paul said, I fear lest any corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Lord The disciples asked the Lord one day, said, Master, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Over 70 times, the Bible says to believe. It don't say you got to teach Sunday school or join a certain church or keep the commandments or be kind to animals. It just says you got to believe. You got to believe to have access to that blood atonement of Jesus Christ. You embrace it. You appropriate it. You receive it for yourselves. As we sing, what page?
277.